We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. We are certainly a blessed people to be able to come together to worship our God and to praise His holy name. I appreciated very much the devotional. I didn't hear all of it, but the first words I heard when we came in was this thing about being ashamed of Jesus or of God, about being ashamed and how that is going to come back to us at a certain time if we are ashamed, that He will be ashamed of us. May that time never come for any one of us. Appreciated also our Sunday school class and the different things that were shared there. But for the message today, I'm sure someone can tell me what today is, as far as which Sunday it is. Anyone? Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Why is it Palm Sunday? In John 12, we can read here. In verse 12, it says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" So the king was coming to visit. And people were so excited about it, and they wanted to so honor and respect this man Jesus that they went and cut branches off of the palm trees. I don't know how that looked when they were done, if there were just a bunch of stripped trees there or not, but the branches were put on in the roadway, and they wanted to have that there for the king to come on. We've heard of times when some important people come to visit countries and they like roll out the red carpet. Well, this is where the people rolled out the green carpet, and it was certainly a welcome for this great king. The message title I have chosen is Knowing the Time of Thy Visitation. This king has come to visit. And for us, there is a message here in Palm Sunday, what we commemorate as Palm Sunday. Do you know the time of thy visitation? Do you know that the king has come to visit? Do you know that he at times knocks on your door and he is wanting to converse with you? He's wanting to have conversation with you. He's wanting to convict you of maybe something that is in your life. Are you ready for that? And do you know when he is speaking to you? And for that, I'd like to turn to Luke in chapter 19 and verse 28. We'll start reading there. "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." Well, this again, this is in Luke 19, started to read in verse 28. "Saying, 'Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him.' This was a young donkey, and never anyone had sat on its back. So he was like completely untrained. But here, this is what Jesus had asked for. And you would think, you know, with all this crowd around, you wouldn't want to ride something that's never been ridden before. I'm sure, I don't doubt Jonathan would do something like that. If you'd have a young colt or something, and the thing is a little hoochie or whatever, and you'd have a very important gathering, you know, to use one that's never been ridden on before. But that's what Jesus wanted. And it was prophesied in that way. But it just does show how great our God is And it says then how in prophecy, how your king is going to be coming to Jerusalem, and he is meek and humble, lowly, riding on an ass's colt. And that's how God comes to us in our day. He speaks with his spirit, sometimes in just a quiet voice. We've heard songs about the gentle promptings of the spirit. And God speaks to us in different ways. But do we know the time of our visitation? And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? He said, the Lord hath need of him. The Lord was needing this right at this time, and it was very important. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They did not know the time of their visitation. And what happened to Jerusalem because of that? And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. The people could say that this man knew what he was talking about. They could just feel it in the air. They knew that Jesus had a special place somehow because this man was different from anybody else, very different from the scribes and Pharisees. So the words that Jesus spake, the people were just grasping to hear them, very attentive. No one was sleeping. But when he talks here about Jerusalem not knowing the time of their visitation 70 years later, when the trenches were cast up, the banks were cast up around the city, and the city was besieged, and all the people were within there, they were trapped, there was no way to get out. Were they thinking then, looking back at the time of the visitation of Jesus Christ and the things that he had said? He said things like, if I could just as a hen put my feathers out and gather you around as she does her little chicks, but ye would not. They did not know the time of their visitation. They did not know the time that they could have been saved at that point. Now, what is going to happen to us if we do not know the time of the visitation? And maybe we know the time of the visitation, but we reject it. The time will come when we will look just like the city of Jerusalem did when it was besieged about with enemies. How does the soul of a person look when it has departed from this body and there is, could we say, demons that are happy? The devil is happy because another one has lost salvation. And now he takes him to the place where he is going. It's like enemies all around that soul. And that soul is in that situation because it did not know the time of the visitation of when the king came. They should have been putting palm trees out, laying them out. There should have been a wonderful big welcome. There should have been praising God for his visitation. But they rejected that and turned him away. And so now the time is past. The Bible talks about there being one sin that is unforgivable. And that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But I think there is another sin that is unforgivable, if we could say it this way, and that is a man that rejects Jesus Christ and dies in that situation. And then he comes before the judgment seat of God. And maybe they will say, well, we visited thee in prison, and we gave drink to the poor. We did all these different things for you, God. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, however the words go there. That sin will not be forgiven because it's too late. The rejection of the king because people rejected or did not know the time of the visitation, even though the invitation went out. Everyone has an invitation. Everyone is called to worship this king. At the ministers' meeting, we heard from one of the ministers at the topic that there were times when his light burned very low. Times when we might say he did not feel like preaching. He did not feel like being a bishop or a minister, a deacon, whatever. He did not feel like up to the call that God had placed on his life. And his fire burned very low. Or maybe there were just coals there. And brought out about that not being a good feeling. Because he knew he had a higher calling than to be discouraged and have the fire almost going out. There was a man who wrote the song, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And he was making known that there is a fountain available. There is a preparation made for the forgiveness of your sins. And that man wrote that song after four times trying to commit suicide. William Cowper, I think, was his name. Tried to commit suicide four times and finally got to the point where he wrote this song. There is a fountain filled with blood. Those are sins that are forgivable unless you die in that state. And just the fact that those people who rejected Christ at that time took him to the cross and pounded those nails in there and crucified Jesus. That was not an unforgivable sin. When they got to the point where they really, saw their mistake. At one point in Acts, it says, the people were asking, men and brethren, what shall we do? We made this huge mistake in crucifying Jesus. What shall we do? When Stephen preached it, they were cut to the heart and they stoned him. They did not know, or they rejected the time of visitation. There were other people who accepted and knew the time of visitation, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. That was a wonderful experience. All those people who were coming to the knowledge of the truth, and they were accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. What is your situation this morning? Is your light burning brightly? Do you have oil in your lamp? I remember there's quite a long time we used to sing a chorus of the song of Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And then the chorus went, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Maybe some of you know that song. Could we try to sing that? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Thank you for that. Certainly on Palm Sunday, we should be praising him. Let's turn to song number 773. That is a song that we quite often sing, but it is saying about hallelujah, praise Jehovah. And it talks about the earth just ringing out with praise for our great God. And I believe that's a good thing to do on Palm Sunday, as we commemorate Palm Sunday, because the King has come and he has an invitation out. And will we receive him? 773. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah from the heavens. next song I want to sing is 199. All praise to him who reigns above. And the one we just sang, if we refer to verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And certainly the song we just sang has a lot to say about the mighty works of our great God, Jehovah, the things that he had done. So, 199. All praise to him who reigns above.
All praise to him who reigns above in majesty.
Thank you. I would like to sing song 135. There is a fountain filled with blood. I really appreciated this song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Certainly that is a wondrous cross. And when Jesus came and Palm Sunday came and the people were praising God and laying down the palms, little did they know that at the end of that week, that this man, who they honored and sang praise to so much, was going to be lying in a grave. They did not know that. They could not know that. They were not familiar with the plan of salvation at that point. They thought that Jesus came to be king, yes, and he was going to deal with the Romans. But see, Jesus came to deal with something far more important than that. It was the workers of darkness, the rulers in the high places who are out to destroy your soul. That's who Jesus came. And you know, there's times that we want Jesus or God, we want God to change our circumstances to something that feels better. That's what Israel wanted. They were tired of this tyranny of the Romans over them. And they thought that would just fix everything if God would just come and he would deal with these Romans, get them out of the way. Then we could really, you know, serve our God. And how many times are we like that? God, if you would just change my circumstances, my surroundings, and then I could praise you, I could bless your name. But you know, it doesn't work that way. It's when our circumstances maybe can seem sometimes all against us. And maybe it seems like friends have turned against you, and somehow they no longer have the field for you. They just don't care about you anymore. But we know that Jesus cares. But maybe God uses those very things to deal with a heart that is lifted up and who, you know, is dependent on nice, good circumstances to praise the Lord. It's not that hard to praise the Lord in a church service. But when you've got water trouble and you're down in the ditch and it's a hot day and you're sweating it out trying to fix that thing, and then something goes wrong and you know, that's not that easy to praise the Lord. But you know, we're just, our carnal nature is that way. We feel like if our circumstances were easier, you know, we could bless God more. But it's the people who, in spite of very adverse circumstances, and they still can praise God and say, thank you, God. And to know that this is what it took. A fountain filled with blood is what it took to buy us back from ourselves, our carnality, a lost condition. And this man, William Cowper, 4 times tried to commit suicide, and then he came out with such victory, knowing that their fountain filled with blood was for him, and he can have all his sins wiped away. There is a fountain. came with these thoughts, I'll sing thy power to save. Even somebody like me who tried to kill myself so many times, I'll sing thy power to save. And when the Pharisees heard the multitude of these people who were laying down the palms and were praising and singing glory to God, rebuke these people, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, if they would be quiet, the very stones in the streets would open their mouth and sing praise to God. He will be praised. Are you part of that praise? Do you know the time of your visitation? And you open your mouth and praise him, even when your circumstances don't feel like that. But in your heart, you just accept it. You just say, Lord, here I am. Do teach me what I should learn in this circumstance. Just help me to be open. In that way, we can still sing his praises. I don't think he is asking us when life is dark, such like when we find out that our child has lost its life or some other terrific loss that we go through. I think he expects us to mourn for a period of time. There was lots of mourning in the Bible, and the Bible supports that. But in spite of that mourning, we still, those who know the time of their visitation and the Spirit is speaking, they still know that God is good, that in the end this will come out right. They still know that. They have that confidence. For all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Do you feel called today? Do you know that you are called? Do you know the time of your visitation? When he comes and says, this and this and this needs to change. Do you know when he is telling you those things? Because the time will come when they will lay thee even with the ground. In one place in the Bible, it talks about being ground to powder. Upon whom this stone shall fall shall be broken, but there are others whom it will grind to powder. And that was what he said was going to happen to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the city of the great king. But that did not make any difference to God, because God is not interested in these cities. He is interested in you. He wants your heart. He wants a dwelling place there. And you know, when Jesus came and he visited Jerusalem, you know one of the first things he did? The first thing he did was he went to the temple that was within that city. He went to the temple and he looked round about on all things. He looked round about on all things. Maybe that is in John. Well, it says that he looked around about on all things. I think it's in Matthew. All four of the Gospels talk about Palm Sunday, or about, you know, them cutting off branches and saying Hosanna to God in the highest. They all talk about that. But when Jesus came to that situation where there was so much praise, but the Pharisees were there, they were on the other side of it, he came into the temple and looked round about upon all things. Have you ever felt God doing that in your life? Have you ever felt God doing that in your temple? When he comes in there and he looks round about on all things. You know, this is the time of the year when we usually go through examination services. And what examination services are, preparatory services, is we need to look at ourselves, examine ye yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves to see if there's anything that is between you and God. Examine yourselves. It's the time of visitation. It's the time when we invite the Spirit to shine into our heart and life and see what is there. We invite Jesus to come and go into our heart and look about on all things. And after Jesus did that, he went out to the Mount of Olives for the night. And the next morning, he came back to the temple. And what did he do? He started throwing over the tables with the money changers, and he chased them out. And he said, don't treat my house like this. You have made it, turned it into a den of thieves. And you should not do this in my house. And it says that he would not suffer any man to carry his vessel through the temple. And what that simply means, that the house of God was being desecrated. They were in there doing money and buying and selling and taking advantage of the people. It was a terrible situation. And also, if somebody wanted to go, you know, the temple was quite large. And if somebody wanted to go from the east to the west side, instead of going around and holding the place sacred, they just walked right through it in a casual way. After all, the way the Pharisees or the leaders treated the house of God, that had its effect upon the people. So if like somebody, you know, we are in the house of God this morning. And suppose somebody would want to go from the parking lot down here to the woods. Well, instead of going around the building, he would just walk through here just like it was nothing, go through the doors and take a shortcut. But Jesus was not pleased. He did not suffer anybody to carry his vessel through the house of God. Stay away. The only ones welcome in this place are the ones who are treating God with respect. How much respect do we have for our great God in this day and age? Do we believe that we need to honor and respect God? It's why we come to this church, to worship and to serve him. And we don't allow somebody to just behave themselves in the house of God as if, you know, it's just any other building. Because God is here. We have come to turn our attention to God, and we want his Spirit to speak to us. We know that now is the time of visitation. We know that he is speaking to us, and he wants us to hear his word. Hear what he has to say. But do you allow Jesus to come into your temple and look around about all things? And you know, we can see our farms and our businesses and our vehicles and all the different things that we have in life and our circumstances. That could be likened unto Jerusalem. But when you look at your temple, we're looking at your body, and we're looking in there in your heart. That is the temple where God wants to live. And he comes in and looks round about on all things. Will you just let him? Do you know the time of your visitation? The time is here to close. I do have one more song I'd like to sing. And this is a song of victory to our great King. It's song number 141. Where we want our God. He arose from the grave. And he took his rightful place in the heavens. He was the victor. He came out of that grave. That was a week after Palm Sunday, he came out of that grave, and he is the glorious conqueror. And if you know the time of your visitation and you listen to his voice, you will rise gloriously conquerors with him. That's wonderful. Rise glorious conqueror. To Let's kneel to pray.